I'd like to read some verses from Ephesians to help us focus on who we are here to worship this morning. And there's so much going on in our heads, and it's good to come together this morning and focus on Jesus. That's why we're here. That's who we're about this morning. Ephesians 1 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. We praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this morning you say we're united with you. It's just incredible to think of you showering your kindness on us, Lord. People who could have been apart from you, but you drew to yourself. And through your Son, through his death for us, Lord, that love for us, Lord, we get to be your people, and we get to come together to express our love for you, to share the good things that are happening, the way you're at work in this world, to share some of our difficulties, to come alongside each other and encourage each other. Lord, we pray that this morning your Holy Spirit would be with us. We would know you moving among us. Lord, we welcome you. We long for you to have freedom in this place today. Come and be with us, Lord. Amen. So I really love it that today we're focusing on some of the different people and the different nations that we're involved with as a church. And thinking about what God's doing in all these different places. In a moment, I'm going to invite Josie to share with us. And before that, as we're thinking globally this morning, I'd like us just to pause and pray, thinking about the conflict in Ukraine and just bringing that to God again this morning. Let's pray. Lord, hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We ask for peace for those who need peace, and comfort for all who don't know what tomorrow will bring. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord God, we ask for you to be with all as the crisis in Ukraine continues. Lord, for those who are anxious and fearful, for those who are bereaved, injured, and for those who have lost loved ones, Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we ask that decision makers hear your voice. We pray for church communities as they support and comfort people. And Lord, we ask for wise actions from global leaders who have the power not only to start wars, but to stop them too. And Father God, we cry out for an end to this crisis, for mercy, peace, and truth, because you are light, hope, power, and love. Amen. Josie. Me, I've got to come down, all right.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. That is something I have said many times in response to a prayer about going to serve God in another country. Okay, I could really use a few helpers this morning. Darren, can you read what it says?
What?
Great. Olivia, can you read what yours says?
When?
Is it Nancy?
Where?
Good girl, right. Right. I'm going to tell you a bit of a story. A long time ago, when I was about 26, I'd been getting a bit bored of teaching in London. I thought, I think I'd like to go and be in another country. And I planned to go to the rainforest. Have you guys studied the rainforest in school yet? Yeah. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. I thought, I'm going to have a year out and I'm going to go to the rainforest. But nobody seemed to want to volunteer. And I was thinking, oh, this isn't really working out how I'd hoped. So I stopped. I sat in my bedroom one day and I prayed. And I said to God, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then I said, when do you want me to do it? Nancy, hold yours up, lovey. And then I said to God, where do you want me to go? And literally at that moment into my head came the word India. Well, I wasn't expecting that. I'd been to India before and I didn't like it. The chilies made my mouth burn. The toilets were really weird. So I wasn't very happy about that answer. And then my mum came into my bedroom. I thought, oh, my mum won't want me to go to India. Far too dangerous. Oh, mum, I said, I'm thinking of going to India. Oh, what a lovely idea. Well, I wasn't expecting that. So off I went to India, and what did I do? I was a teacher and I taught in a wonderful school. And when did I go? It fitted in perfectly with the school year. I went for a year when I was 26. And where? I went right to the bottom of India. And I was told the school was in a city. And I was thinking, well, I don't really like cities, especially not Indian ones. So I went, and when I got there, the school was in a beautiful countryside setting. Well, I wasn't expecting that. And I wasn't expecting all the amazing things that happened to me when I served God in India. And I taught in a school, taught guys like this in India, and we talked about Jesus a lot, and it was amazing. Anyway, I came back from that, went back to teaching in Hemel Hempstead, and a few years later, I was thinking, oh, I think I'd like to go abroad for God again. And in my head, I thought I'd really like to go to Nepal and go teaching again. But I remembered my lesson from before, and I thought, I'm going to pray about it. So I sat down on my table and I said, can you say what for me?
What?
I said, what, God, shall I do? And then I said,
when?
When shall I go? And then I said,
where
shall I go, Lord? And do you know where God sent me this time? He sent me to New Zealand to marry Neil. Well, I wasn't expecting that. No. Thank you. So, folks, what I am saying to all of us today is if you want to have an adventure with God, if you want to get out of Norton and do something with God abroad, you just need to pray these three little words. Even you guys can pray and say to your families, hey, I think God wants us to go on holiday somewhere exciting. I guarantee you'll be saying to yourself, well, we never expected that.
And so, we're probably all familiar with the term AWOL. Someone wants to shout out what it means? Okay, absent without leave. And you probably know that originally it's a military term, and it was used for a soldier when he had left his post without permission. And these days, you know, we use the word kind of in a much more broader sense. And when I looked in a dictionary at AWOL, it said to be absent from where we should be. And that kind of got me thinking a little bit. And I think that sometimes we can find ourselves absent from where we should be. Perhaps physically, we're not really where we think we want to be, whether that's in work, education, just life in general, the small things, you know. Or maybe in our relationships with one another and sometimes with Jesus, we can just not quite be where we think we need to be. So for this morning, I wanted to use that acronym, AWOL, and I wanted to give it a bit of a different meaning for us. And hopefully, when we think about these sort of new meanings, that we'll find ourselves, or we won't find ourselves as often, perhaps in that place where we feel we're a little bit absent. So what I want to make it into is that the A becomes available for God, and the W, willing to serve him, open-hearted, and long haul. You know, we need to be in it for the long haul. And I want to draw some of the things I want to say this morning from the story from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was someone who made himself available to God. And we're going to read from Isaiah 6 in a moment. And he said, he was the one that said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he showed this amazing willingness when he said those words. His heart was open to God's leading, because he didn't actually know what it was that he was volunteering for. And he needed to be in it for the long haul, as we see. And making ourselves available for God and saying, here I am, can actually be a bit risky sometimes. We know that. There are several people in the Bible, apart from Isaiah, who say those words to God, "Here I am, Lord." And they find themselves in quite life-changing situations. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, and Ananias in the New Testament were all recorded as saying, "Here I am, God," in response to God calling their names. And we know all of them play a significant part in helping God to fulfill his plans and his purposes. But we also see in these examples that often those who say, "Here I am," don't necessarily feel able. Maybe too old, too young, not capable enough. We know that the list can go on, and we can feel that too, can't we? You know, when God asks us to do something, we can just not really feel able to do it, and I think that's probably quite normal, really. And so they doubt themselves, they doubt their abilities. And we see this with Abraham, with Moses, and with Ananias, that they, all of them, they just doubt somehow that they're capable of doing it. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 6, and it's Isaiah's commission. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So we see Isaiah, he has this wonderful vision of God's glory filling the temple. And he's just totally consumed by the presence of God in this vision and the holiness that is present. You know, even the angels are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord Almighty." There's just such a sense of God's presence in this place. And because of that, he becomes very, very aware of his own sin and his weakness. Often when we're in the presence of someone great, it can sort of somehow magnify our sense of smallness, and we can feel perhaps even more inadequate than we do. And some of you that have been at Welton for a long time, you will remember Reverend Parsons. Put your hand up if you remember Reverend Parsons. Ah, yes, the remnant. And he was a lovely, lovely man. And it was in the days when we were meeting at the chapel, and he would come and he would preach. And I don't know what it was about him, but there was something about him that when you were with him, you just felt you were in the presence of God. He just had this real holiness about him. I feel a little bit like that with Jeremy Bedrock as well. Anyone else feel like that with Jeremy Bedrock? I'm sure if you spoke to Claire, she'd probably give you a different story, but anyway. So Isaiah feels really overwhelmed, and he cries, "Woe is me, I am ruined." He feels utterly wrecked in the presence of God, this holy and powerful Yahweh. And no one except the priests were to see God's glory and live. That's what we read in the Old Testament. And so he feels unworthy, unable, unholy. But God takes this coal and he touches his lips and he cleanses him. I think it's really interesting that Isaiah's willingness to step up and say, "Here I am," to God comes after he's had this encounter with God. It's kind of like this encounter has filled Isaiah with such faith and such confidence that suddenly this "woe is me" that he cries is replaced with this really bold statement of, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Isaiah's heart had been affected by this vision, by this encounter. He'd been in the presence of God. He'd become aware of his need for God. He'd been touched. He'd been cleansed by God. And now God had given him a heart to go and to be an advocate and a mouthpiece for him. And God said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. I suspect when Isaiah heard this, he probably wished he kept his gob shut. I know I would have, because it was pretty clear it wasn't going to be an easy task. And I don't know about you, but I find it a bit puzzling what God says. It's almost as though God doesn't actually want these people to be saved. They don't want them to turn to him. But we know God's heart is that for all mankind to be saved. So it must mean something different. So when I looked into this, really I think what God is saying to Isaiah, look, I've anointed you as a prophet to go and preach to a people and they're not going to listen to you. They're going to reject me and they're going to reject you. And in your persistence, you'll cause them to harden their hearts. They're going to harden their hearts to your message, close their ears to your words, and they'll end up sealing their own fate through their failure to listen and respond. Not exactly what a prophet wants to hear, I guess. And I think we can sort of see that in Isaiah's response when he said, for how long, Lord? You think it probably wasn't expecting that. And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the field ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Now when Isaiah asked, for how long, Lord, he was probably hoping, I know I would, that God was going to say, well, only until the end of the week, and then I got a nice little job for you after that. But it really didn't come like that, did it? It was quite obvious it was going to be a difficult job. It wasn't going to be a quick fix, and it was going to take time. Isaiah needed to be in it for the long haul. But as, you know, as always with God, there's a glimmer of hope. God never leaves us feeling completely overwhelmed and without hope. And God says a stump will be left, a holy seed will be the stump in the land. And it's a reference to better things to come. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be pretty. But hope is ahead. Isaiah was faithful to this call. And God was faithful to his word. And of course, it's unlikely that God is going to call any one of us to do such a daunting task. But when he calls our name, he does want our hearts to be positioned towards him in this same way. He wants our availability. He wants our willingness. He wants us to be open-hearted and to be ready to be in it for the long haul. He wants our faithfulness and he wants our yes. And that's without question, that's all of us. He uses everyday simple people like me and you to work with him. We don't need to be superhuman or super spiritual, we know that. We just need to be willing and available. There's this saying, isn't it, that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, and we're all called. I remember during lockdown, watching an interview with Jackie Pullinger. Have you heard of Jackie Pullinger? Pop your hand up, yeah, okay. In case you haven't heard of Jackie Pullinger, she worked in Hong Kong in the what they called the walled city, which was kind of a bit lawless, kind of a bit like, I don't know, it was, she describes it as like a rabbit warren with these shacks and things, just people everywhere. And yeah, So she went to Hong Kong. She was just 22 when she went to Hong Kong. and she didn't actually know where she was going. She just prayed that prayer a little bit, like Josie said at the beginning, you know, the what, why, and the when. No, what was it? The what, the where, and the when. That's it. Got it. So she prayed something along those lines. She ended up on a ship. She didn't actually know where the ship was going to go or where she was going to end up. But she ended up in Hong Kong Harbour. And she was just 22, as I said, and she probably didn't have a great deal to offer in terms of what the world would think about her. But what she did have to offer was just this willing heart and just wanting to share the love of God with people. And so she began this amazing ministry. If you've ever, I think the book is Chasing the Dragon, if you want to know more about her story. But she began this amazing ministry, just working with the drug addicts and the gang leaders that were there and people with all sorts of problems. But it started really, really small and simple. And when she went, she didn't really know what she was going to get involved in. And God just grew this amazing ministry. And 50 years later, she's still involved, she's still loving, and she's still serving. So I just want to bring this to a close now. You'll be pleased to hear. And the important thing to remember is that when we say, "Here I am, God, send me," to remember who we're actually saying it to. And of course, it's to Jesus that we're saying it to. And we know that Jesus is the one who is for us. He wants the best for us. And he says to us, "I will be with you always." And so when we go, wherever that may be, however we do it, we can know that Jesus will be alongside us. And this is the main thing where we go. He is there with us. It's as much what motivates us as whatever it is that lies ahead of us. It's the "send me to Jesus" that we're saying. And he just loves it when we're obedient. He loves it when we say yes to him, because then we're just choosing the best that he has for us. In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey me." Saying "send me" means being available, willing, open-hearted, and in for the long haul. So that, just try and remember that AWOL thing. It's, you know, I'm quite visual. And so things like that just help me to remember stuff. And so it's to the person of Jesus as well as the mission of Jesus that we say yes to. And what could be better for us than to do that? I just want to bring this service just to an end. Katie has very kindly agreed to sing a song that I found, and it's called "Here I Am, Send Me." And so she's going to play and sing that for us. So as she does that, it would be really just lovely just to close our eyes and to allow the Spirit of Jesus just to minister to us. Perhaps there are things he wants us to remember, things that he's said that perhaps we haven't always managed to do. And just to encourage you that if you feel that you want to be prayed with after, then that you know there are guys around that would be willing to pray with you. So don't leave if you want prayer without getting that prayer. Thank you, Katie.
Bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet. Here I am, Lord, send me. Even if it's loving others, even when we don't agree. Here I am, Lord, send me. Serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. still say, here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. If the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway. Here I am, Lord, send me. Even if they'll reject me, I will say it anyway. 'Cause here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I long to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me.
Hold those thoughts for a minute. I guess we're all thinking, oh Lord, where could I go? Where do you want me to go? How would you use me? Just thinking we can do a morning like this and then think, oh, that's it for another few months. Or we can say, Lord, where would you send me? What would you have me do? Let's hold that a minute. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that you've got plans for each one of us, each person in this room. And Lord, I just pray where voices would come into our minds and tell us that we can't do something, or it's no good thinking about it, it's just not possible, or we're not good enough. Lord, I pray that we would just be able to push those to one side and bring to you that one thing which we would love to do today. Yeah. Amen.